Good people, what's going on? Sauce Talk is back. Sauce Talk is here to give you an episode of what went down in the divisional round. Had a round for y'all. Now we got Conference Championship Week coming up. It's Conference Championship Week. We had UFC 283 over the weekend. Saw some interesting things. Boxing, saw Chris Eubank Jr. lost to Liam Smith for the boxing fans out there. For the basketball fans, we got to see Kyrie Irving give Steph Curry buckets, 38 points, and a win for the Nets a couple days ago. That was something that I think a lot of people wanted, like love to see that matchup, because people talk about, you know, the finish god, the layup god, the handle king, you know, all that stuff like that. Like, it's always, to me, it was always Kyrie, Steph, you know what I'm saying, in that talks. And to see them go head-to-head is always cool. And Kyrie got the best of them. I think another thing to talk about is how, you know, scattered out the, you know what I'm saying, like people with their frustrations and stuff like that with their teams and stuff like that, exiting out the playoffs. Is, you know, the Cowboys losing in the playoffs. You know, it's one of those things where you have the biggest fan base in all of NFL football. They always think they're 1 year away, or this is the year. I think this is the year is more so of how their fans think of the Dallas Cowboys. And I would say after Sunday night, it seems like it just now is like, well, we got to get rid of Dak, or it's Dak. I'm glad, not say glad that Dak had a bad game, but I'm at least glad that people can identify properly. They're not sitting there saying, oh, Mike McCarthy's got to go, or Kellen Moore, this out of stuff like that. No, Jerry Jones said the president at the end of the game, you know, with the loss of the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, we're going to talk about the other teams and things that went on, because there's another quarterback we're going to talk about that's, you know, got a lot of hype, looking to make a lot of money like a Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. But to talk about the headline of the America's team, you know, Dallas Cowboys, everybody wanted to, you know, they beat Tom Brady finally. So now he's 7-1 against the Cowboys in the playoffs. They lost. Now he's out. Everybody was talking about him for the whole week. And then now it came time for this week, for the Eagles and the Giants, and then the Cowboys and the 49ers. And of course, we had the Bengals and the Bills, and we had the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Now, let's talk about Sunday, though, real quick, because that's the more recent thing to talk about. Everybody's sitting there like, oh my God, who deserves more blame? Who's going to get the blame? Da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going to put it to you like this. If anybody deserves any type of blame, first off, it's and it's, like I said, it's only one person that you can sit there and say, and I hate to do this because it's such a team effort, but it's Dak Prescott, man. Dak Prescott in that game. Dak had a hell of a post-game speech after interview after beating the Buccaneers. You know, sitting there talking about going through struggles of the season, throwing interceptions and things like that, trying to please certain critics and hype machines, and he's making this money, he should be doing this and stuff. Trying to squeeze throws in there and stuff like that. He admitted that, people. Dak Prescott admitted that was his fault. Now I'm back. That was I beat Tom Brady. I threw 5 touchdowns. I'm back. Everybody's thinking like, oh shit, Dak is on it. You see, Dak, if Dak can get this, but see, the things that people are still going to say, and still going to say tomorrow, and then next year, and the next season. Inconsistency. Because what we seen against Tampa Bay, and all that, everybody thought that was going to be 2 weeks running. It was not 2 weeks running. It ended up being a 1 week affair. It ended up being, that's it. It ended up being, hey man, I don't know what to tell you, but Dak is going to go ahead and fail you. Against the 49ers, a team that's got a third-string quarterback, a hellacious defense, a good running back, and a host of wide receivers that you really cannot mess with. Ayuk has been proving himself, George Kittle, and of course, Deebo Samuel. So let's talk about this game and what the game is that the San Francisco 49ers may have some offensive woes coming against a good defense in the Philadelphia Eagles, because I tell you what, the Dallas Cowboys defense did not do no wrong. If you look at the score and what the 49ers had to do, it took a lot of good coaching, a lot of real strong-headed play by Brock Purdy. And I would say that, you know, wide receivers did their job, but Brock Purdy, you know, he missed a couple throws here and there, but kept his head, you know, kept his head. In the fourth quarter, that's what you want. A player that can make some mistakes here and there, get sacked, whatever, he might get rattled. No, fourth quarter came, he was ready to go on his spot. I think he went like 8-12 or something like that with a, you know, touchdown. It just, he was on his game versus Dak Prescott in the fourth quarter with a 26 QBR and like 6-12 and only 20-some yards. You know what I'm saying? So, through the course of the game, we've already been through the one pick that gets out the way for Dak to, you know, start playing good. A lot of people say, man, he just need to get that first pick out the way. He's fine. He got it out the way. And what happened? Couple good runs, gets a rushing touchdown. I mean, it gets a rushing first down. You know, everybody's like, okay, this is what you got to do. You got to run the ball. The Cowboys score with Schultz. So now we're like, okay. Maher, of course, with the four missed extra points from the previous game, was damn sure going to miss this one, but it got blocked. Was going to miss it anyway. Got blocked, so then it was like, oh, here we go. 6-6. You know, that's what we got. That's what we got as a score through the pulse of the game. So, in the midst of that, when you're thinking, like, we got to find some momentum. We got to do something. Dak Prescott throws another interception. But I'm going to talk about this interception right here. CeeDee Lamb ran basically like an option type deal, maybe. I don't know if it was like an option or just like a little cutback, like a little, you know, come in, come out. Like, you know what I'm saying? A 5 yard out, but you're going to fake in and then come out. So he does that. Ward is standing right there. Fred Warner is right there. That's a no throw. I mean, me, 35 year old amateur, just looking. If I drop back and I'm sitting there seeing, that's a no throw. You're seeing CeeDee Lamb, you're not looking at Ward. Ward is right there. And you know, I'll put this out there. If somebody would say, well, you know, pressure and stuff. That offensive line played good Sunday night. That offensive line played good. Nick Bosa and those guys, you know, you saw their numbers tackling Zeke and tackling Tony Pollard. But you didn't see them sacking Dak Prescott throughout the game. Kind of like how they, you know, just went after quarterbacks all season long. Especially the last, what, 11 games? So, I mean, like, hear me out. The offensive line didn't play bad for the Dallas Cowboys. Zeke lost Tony Pollard, his running mate, and he didn't do extremely bad when he went out. CeeDee Lamb played his ass off. A lot of people probably had prop bets for, you know, a parlay doing with 5 catches, 6 catches, or something like that. They got it. Special teams were surprisingly well. Because, you know, Darden is fast on a wet, but I just haven't really seen so much from him. And then what he did last night. I mean, what he did Sunday night was positive in certain things. Now, he had some ball-carrying vision issues. Because if you'd have cut it out to the outside, he could have scored a touchdown. But we're not going to talk about that. We're on Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, the only positive plays I can think about was you going for that fourth down and get the run. The deep ball to CeeDee Lamb, that was all CeeDee Lamb. Underthrew it. You threw behind CeeDee Lamb on a big time third and 8 that could have made a short fourth down for you. I mean, you just put yourself in situations where the team would lose trust in you. And Mike McCarthy didn't lose trust in you in the fourth quarter, gave you the ball in hands. And you couldn't make plays. He called a play to go deep, him and Kellen Moore. You missed it. To Gallup, you missed it. Throwing high passes to Zeke. He's not a wide receiver. Just put it in his chest. You know what I'm saying? Tony Pollard the same. Missed throwing screens. The only screen you threw right was to CeeDee Lamb when he went for about 9 yards. Like I said, I can't say nothing bad too much about the Dallas Cowboys defense because I can't really go crazy about how good the offense of the 49ers went because you, other than a Christian McCaffrey run, a Coleman run, a Mitchell run, an Ayuk play that was nice. What did that offense do other than the George Kittle circus catch? Nothing spectacular. Dak Prescott had that game. in his hands. He had that game in his hands. Now, Jerry Jones is going to say Mike McCarthy's job was never in question, never in a hot seat. I believe him, and I think that he's right on that decision. Mike McCarthy is taking his team and pushing it to a level. Him and Dan Quinn, Kellen Moore, if they stay together, they can get it done. But I'm sad to say, Dak Prescott is under contract for the next couple of years. And then he's going to hold this team back unless he improves. Unless they find a trade, get rid of him like how Jerry Jones got rid of T.O. when he signed that big deal. It wasn't hard. D.O. just invited him to Jerry Jones invited him to dinner. And, you know, he slid the paper over and was like, hey, man, I'm only going to lose by 8 million on you. But it's a little different times now. You might lose a little bit more on Dak in that contract. But still, my point is, are you willing to sit there and be held back by a quarterback with such a talented team? Because if you look at the talented teams in the playoffs, the Cowboys damn sure were top three of talented teams. Top three? You got, to me, I say like, well, yeah, top three, top four. Because you got Eagles, you got 49ers, Cowboys, and then you got the Bengals. Because you look at the Chiefs, you got Mahomes, you got Travis Kelce, you got some talent around. I'm not sitting there just shoot pooping on them. I'm just saying, when you look at some other teams that was, you know, got eliminated, of course, and stuff like that, the Bills, and you got the Jags, stuff like that, the real talent, top to bottom, offense and defense, Eagles, Bengals, Cowboys, 49ers. That's the Mount Rushmore of this playoffs, and only two of those teams are still in it. Three of those teams are still in it. Eagles, 49ers, and Bengals. And two of them are heading face-to-face, and that's the Eagles in the 49ers. We're going to talk about that matchup a little bit later. But Dak Prescott, man, I just think from watching that game of having the pocket to where you can, like, I know it's hectic, and I know it's things going crazy, but you have to make better throws in that situation where teams that don't have that type of offensive line play in the setting of one game or through a season or whatever, but in this one game, you had good protection. And you squandered that, man. It's a squander. There's no excuse. There's no nothing we can sit there and say, oh, man, Dak Prescott, man, somebody tried to make an excuse. Well, his thumb, you know, that he ain't really, you know, he never really felt right at the thumb. Somebody was like, man, you can't forget he's a fourth rounder. We can't say these things. We can't say these things, people. You can't blame the coach because he didn't do nothing wrong. You can't blame Kellen Moore because he didn't do nothing wrong. He called plays. People want to talk about that last play, but what are you supposed to do with fucking 5 seconds left? When you got a guy named Schultz who don't know how to catch a ball anymore. Was the game over? Now you just think you're back in college? I'll just catch it. Oh, did I catch it? They didn't even catch the ball. Couldn't even drag a toe. And that's why, guess John Overstreet was like, when the last time he was on, we was talking about that, he was like, Schultz may be gone after this season because he got two other tight ends that could come in and be better. And now that's why I see why he say that. Because what happened right there on the field? Come on, Schultz. DeMarcus Lawrence was out there playing his ass off. Micah Parsons was playing middle linebacker and end. Outside linebacker, man, was sitting there doing every goddamn thing out there. You got good corner play from your guys when you needed them to step up, other than the kid that who should be coming back, Wilson, who made a kind of awkward play and held on a play where the Cowboys could have had a chance to get the ball back. But, you know, sometimes mistakes happen. And that's why we say that excuse to Dak. You're like, excuse me, mistakes happen. But it just now is just like, wow, man, like, with all the people defending you and all that stuff like that, I think he just plays way too safe, trying to please everybody. And, you know, everybody was on it, you know what I'm saying? He took that endorsement from Cam. Everybody's like, oh, shit, look at Dak. All right, Dak, look at that. And he got hurt and came back like a leader of a team, or came back like a franchise of a team. Everybody's wondering if he's okay. You know, he shows them training camp, they have Hard Knocks, we go through that. I just think with Dak, when he got his money, he started listening to the critics. He started listening to the hype. He started listening to what I can be great so I can earn this money. You already earned it. You already earned it. Be yourself. Be Dak. Be what made you get in there. Run a little bit more. You know, even though you got hurt, you may feel like yourself. Dude, I'm not athletic. I don't run no more. You know, still use your legs. You do some things that when you came into the league, you was a person of efficiency. You was a person that was safe. You was a person that was going to do the right thing. Yeah, you was going to get that 5 yards if it was third and five. You never right there. You was going to sit there and hit the check down when it was need to. You was going to sit there and throw it on time and those things. Now you throw it behind because you're trying to look pretty throwing it. You're trying to be too. It's too much to try to be that type of quarterback for the people other than just be the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. You got to be the Cowboys quarterback. You got to be the quarterback that they know you can be. That offense is going to go just as far as you go because you're the man. CeeDee Lamb is like, I got 50 catches, but we can only do it if you got to go do it, you know? Terrible deep ball. CeeDee Lamb would have scored a touchdown if it was Josh Allen throwing that ball. We got to get started on him. Josh Allen. A person that people now comparing to Philip Rivers, a person sitting there saying, well, hey, does he still, is, you know, he was out there golfing with Mahomes and Brady and them, and, you know, they was trying to put him in his class because of that game that he had with Patrick Mahomes, and now I'm not realizing that he's still a kid that came from Wyoming that only ran the ball, I mean, they passed the ball maybe about 10, 13 times a game. So there's still things he's still got to learn, there's still things to get better at. He's a hell of an athlete. He's got a cannon for an arm, and he extends plays with his legs. So when you think about that, he's nothing great of a pocket passer, nothing great as a just a pure passer. He's not Dan Marino. He's not that, you know. He is Cam Newton. He is that. He is what people criticize of Cam. He's what that is. He's Cam Newton. Until that gets better, that's what he is. So when people say talk shit about Cam and his accuracy is throwing and he can't throw and stuff like that, that's Josh Allen. So Josh Allen got to go golf with Brady Mahomes and them, man, and got to kick it up and laugh at while Cam Newton had to prove himself and prove himself and prove himself. Even after going to the Super Bowl and lost, he got marginalized and minimized then. Josh Allen ain't even been to the Super Bowl. And people were calling him the best quarterback in the league, better than Mahomes at one point. Now Joe Burrow's better than all of them, which I knew was going to happen. That's why he's my favorite football player right now, because I seen it in college. I said, man, this guy's going to be good, man. Scored 70-some points in a fucking football game. I know both teams are high scoring, but I would never forget that game. It was his first year there. He didn't even have a full offseason with them. And I seen something in Joe Burrow, and I said, man, he's going to be something. And I remember Pick and Roll Podcast was going on at the time, and I was a guest on their show, and they were sitting there saying, man, you didn't know nothing about Joe Burrow. He was at Ohio State. He transferred, da-da-da-da. I know now. He's my favorite player. And this is the reasons why. Because it's different than Dak or Josh Allen. This man right here just understands, man. He knows it. He knows it. And there's certain things that something to have of an edge to yourself, something that's unique, something that's to you, something that is unique. That's the word, unique. Unique to you, you know. Joe Burrow is that. It looks like Montana Namath, but it's Joe Burrow, you know. It's like he's a modern-day Namath with a Joe Montana-type play. And he plays so cool and calm and poised under pressure that he could move around the pocket. They had missing three offensive linemen. He still went out there and beat the Bills in their own home field in the freaking snow. You know, that's what that is, man. An Ohio kid playing for an Ohio pro team, getting it done, playing with his college teammate that he tore it up with to win a national championship. That's why he's my favorite player, because you look at that. He could have been a fifth, sixth, seventh rounder. He wasn't getting on the field at Ohio State. None, period. He wasn't getting on the field. He transferred to LSU, took a chance. Ed Orgeron was like, look, man, you're going to be our guy. And then look at it. First pick of the draft, Heisman winning quarterback, national championship, home of the best college football team of all time. And then in 3 years, he ended up having the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl, one play away. And Aaron Donald is the man to thank to not for him to have a ring. Joe Burrow. And you think of Patrick Mahomes as the GOAT or the best wide or the best quarterback right now today. Not say the GOAT, but the best quarterback today. And it's like, wow, he's beat him the last, what, three times? This is the fourth matchup, and he's beat him the last three times. When was an AFC Championship game? Whoa! smokes. You know what I'm saying? This makes it that big that he has beaten Pat Mahomes in Kansas City twice. He's beat Josh Allen in Buffalo. He's got the Cincinnati Bengals in more playoff games than the Bengals have in their whole freaking, what, three decades? Marvin Lewis, wish he could still be there. He said, God damn it, why can't I get a Joe Burrow? Had to deal with Carson Palmer and Ocho Cinco. Had to deal with the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, and A.J. Green. Still great names of naming, you know, other than Andy Dalton. But Carson Palmer, hell of a player. Chad Johnson, you already know. T.J. Husmazada, Cedric Benson, rest in peace. But, man, great teams. Good teams. Couldn't get over. And look at the division. Still hard-nosed. Still Pittsburgh Steelers. T.J. Watt, Baltimore Ravens, hard-nosed. Cincinnati. Went through all the Myles Garrett. Cleveland Browns with the two-headed monster running back. You get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? So when you think Dak Prescott, when you think Josh Allen, and they was in the league way before this man, and you got people, Notorious Gooch, been a guest on my show, Dak Prescott's a top five quarterback, not a chance. He's a top 10, not a chance. Certain play can make you think it. Josh Allen, oh, he's a top three quarterback. Just like they said with Justin Herbert. Top three guy. Where he at? It's all fun when somebody has that fun and gun in the arm. I dig it. Somebody can launch it 60 yards. I dig it. I love it too. Brett Favre, Dan Marino, two of my favorite quarterbacks, Randall Cunningham. All of them. Cannons. Warren Moon. Cannon. Those are my four best quarterbacks I can name I love. Cam Newton. Cannon. Now Joe Burrow. He's just a cool, complex guy. Can throw an arm. Got a nice arm. He can throw a deep ball. He can throw it short. He can be efficient. He can be a leader. He can look at your team and say, hey, man, look. We're not shitty. We're not. What? What'd he tell in the post game? He was like, everybody had tickets and wanted to go to this neutral site game. Chiefs versus Bills. So better send them refunds. He ain't sit there and pose. He ain't sit there and say it no fun. He just looked and said, y'all better send those refunds. That man's about business, but he's cool. He's swagful, man. But it's his swagfulness. It's his. And he owns that. And it makes it goes to the team. It goes to the team. You look at Taylor. Taylor said, hey, look, we're going to go out there. And we are going to receive. We get the ball, we're going to run down there and score. It puts confidence in your coach. It puts confidence in your staff. It puts confidence in other players. Von Bell and those guys. One of my favorite defensive, Jesse Bates. You look at these players and they step up. They start to step up and they start doing these things. Eli Apple, step up and making plays. That's all I'm saying. It's just one person can cultivate, like Luka Doncic can do for a franchise. You would think so. LeBron James has done it. We can see like somebody like a Steph Curry or Greek Freak. Players that has their own type of thing that can just make a swagfulness to where, you know, winning can be something contagious. Contagious. You know, Milwaukee winning a ring with Greek. Are you kidding me? But it happened. Why? Because he made it contagious throughout the whole team. You look at Steph Curry, he made it contagious. He formulated a thing with Carter Splash Brothers, Dream of Klay Thompson. He had a thing with letting Draymond Green. He could have been an asshole and be like, Dre, it's my team. I run shit here. But no, Dre, you be you, Dre. You going to do that. I have your back. Look at the team around that. Hey, look at who has four championships. Joe Burrow is going to have people coming to Cincinnati because he going to have the same confidence. And the same confidence is going to bring more winning. That man's going to win a Super Bowl before it's all over with. I think it's going to be this year. Because that's the things you got to do to be great. Tom Brady. Look at Tom. He took it 1 year to Tampa Bay. Called up Leonard Fournette. Got his Gronk. Made Antonio Brown act right for 1 year. We won a Super Bowl. Now, it's a little hard to repeat because you got personalities that you got to maintain, and especially when you win a Super Bowl, Antonio Brown is going to go freaking nuts. Gronk got more beat up, and Leonard Fournette, we seen what happened. He started to fall off in Jacksonville, so he just had that one big burst to sit there and give it his all. And, you know, he kind of showed in that second year, but, you know, we fell short. But my main point I'm getting at is here is that Dak Prescott is so worried about what the critics are saying and what the hype machine is creating around him to be like, oh, he's making his money, he's winning money, but look at, he's got to do this, he's got, this is Dak. He's got to get out of that. Find something to where he is going to galvanize the team the way, because it's like they got his back. It's not like the team hate him, but there is something there that is missing. And I think that Dak Prescott needs to look at those younger quarterbacks, mainly Joe Burrow, because Jalen Hurts is doing it too. Don't forget about Jalen Hurts, who had that, can he really play quarterback? Is he running back? He lost the job in the championship, went to Oklahoma, revitalized his quarterback career, almost won a Heisman, goes to the Eagles, and everybody was like, damn, I didn't see that happening. And then next thing you know, Carson Wentz falls bottom out, and then here comes Jalen Hurts, and then now they're in a freaking NFC championship game. Carson Wentz somewhere home like, wow. And Jalen Hurts is just as talented as, you know, or better than Dak. I think Dak is talented. I think Dak can be better, but Dak gets in his own way. Where Jalen Hurts, we seen when he got a job taken away in the national championship by Tua Tagovailoa and went to Oklahoma, lost. He still keeps his head. He's still cool. He's still like, man, we good. Teams get around that, and it's like it turns into a machine. You know, like, I think whenever the Eagles won it with Nick Foles, I think that kind of had that same play to it. Nick Foles was just cool with the team. People was cool with Nick. And sometimes it happens, man. Like Mike White. Mike White ends up being anything good for the Jets, and they end up winning something. You've already seen it happening because the team already liked him. But he might not be that guy because he's too frail. But I'm not getting on that. It's all about how you... It's the biggest thing of continuity that involves team sports. That is a, like people talk about the talent or like, you know, you got to have this stuff. Like, yeah, of course, duh. You know what I'm saying? You got to be good. You got to be, you want to get, you know, spots where you can sign free agents or make, you know, good trades, draft well. All that stuff rolls into like building a good team. But you can have good pieces. You can have all this. You can have all that continuity be shot. And you can't win shit. Just think of, yeah, they were old, but just think of whenever that team got together, when it was Gary Payton and Kobe and Shaq and all that, and Karl Malone, like, if continuity would have been a serious thing, just look at how they played in the playoffs. They could have won that all. They could have swept the Pistons. There's no continuity. You people blame it on age, though. It was just continuity. They didn't have it all there together. Kobe doing his own thing. Shaq was looking like, damn, I got at least play like a Shaq in the finals at least. And Karl Malone then kicking on to the second round. Gary Payton never got the triangle, and it just fell apart. Sometimes it just happens like that. You can put together a team. The Eagles did it with Chip Kelly. The Falcons did it one time when they thought they was putting all these pieces together, and they felt bottomed out. The Chiefs done it before they even got Patrick Mahomes. It happens. You can think it that you got it. Just think of Dan Snyder when he did with the Redskins, man. He thought, if I go spend all this big money for this one player, we're going to turn it around. Find the right player first before you give all the money to, genius. You can't just give it all to Albert Haynes-Murphy. You can't just give it all to just one player in an off-type position. Now, if it's Reggie White and you go and get, you know what I'm saying, then if Albert Haynes-Worth was that, then you can make sense of it. But then you look at how is the team compared to put that with Albert Haynes-Worth. He signed him for all that money, and he was the only piece of the defense. He had nothing greater. And then you had to start throwing players away, and then you lose your good team. And then a good team might get a not-so-good team might get some continuity and have some good stretches, you know? I always like to say Clinton Portis had some good stretches with the Redskins during that time and when they were called that. You look at that all the time. Something can just hit, but continuity takes it all. The Saints, man, surgery with Sean Payton. getting Reggie Bush. Drew Brees is coming on the team, not going to Miami. This is perfect symmetry shit. Marquez Costa, who the fuck knew him? Nobody. Put him out there. It's continuity. He worked with Drew Brees every day, and he showed it worked. Who knew Devery Henderson was going to be what he was? Who knew these players, these Porters, the guy who got the interception in the Super Bowl with the Saints on Peyton Manning? You know, not Peyton Manning. The Pittsburgh Steelers picked off Ben Roethlisberger. Had to get that right. No, that was Peyton, wasn't it? Nah, Peyton didn't go back to the Super Bowl. Yeah, he did. I'm tripping. He did go back to the Super Bowl. That's who the freaking Saints beat. They beat the Colts. Because then I'm having a top of the dome moment here. I'm going straight to the top of the dome. I'm sitting there trying to remember stuff, but that's neither here nor there. But my point is that continuity, man. Continuity. That team that Drew Brees won the Super Bowl with was all about that. When Peyton finally got it done with the Colts, I mean, it was all finally came into one. Tony Dungy ended up being that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, just give me a couple years here. I'm gonna get it all together. Peyton's a great mind. Jeff Saturday's a great mind. Reggie Wayne is a freaking student of art out here playing wide receiver. And you got Marvin Harrison, him and Peyton Manning are just linked at the hip. It just continuity just kept happening. Dallas Clark, and then next thing you know, defense started getting it, and they win one. Somebody taught Aaron Rodgers that, and then it happened. How it fell off is because, you know, Packers can't maintain all that talent all the time. And certain times, you're just going to have Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, you're going to look good certain games. You're going to have some real crazy Aaron Rodgers moment, but the team ain't that good enough to get over the hump. And that's Green Bay's fault. That's the small town wonder. It's title town, but it's not, you know, not a lot of people. Like Charles Woodson said, I got freaking pulled. I had to be pulled and pride on to go to Green Bay, and that's the year they won it. You know? That happens. Happens. Jaguars, Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, high ankle sprain. Ouch. You know? Ouch. That hurts. But, you know, one thing you can say about Patrick Mahomes is that he is about the 70s, 80s, 90s as an NFL player as can be. And what I mean by that is that he is not no person like, oh, I'm out for the game, right? Okay. AD. You know, some players out there are like, just, oh, I'm done for the day, man. Damn. Like, I ain't saying all. I know there's players out there that be like, man, I'm good. I mean, some people be getting concussions and wanting to run back out there. I dig it. But my thing is that there is a thing to be said in this generation where of especially in this era of football, to where, you know, that's not so much the case. But what Patrick Mahomes showed on Saturday, was purely the opposite of what is going on in today's sports. And he showed frustration and everything because he like, y'all ain't gonna let me back in? I'm good! I'm good! Gets back in there and can barely walk, doing, you know, passes is weird looking. I mean, like, all that stuff, man. It's crazy. But they win the game. Because of what? The leadership, the continuity. And it's looking at their leader, and they're going to play harder. They're going to make sure he's not going to look bad. He's going to make sure that he's going to be able to do what he can do, even with one leg. And they won the game because of that. And Christian Kirk don't know how to catch, but, you know, he's making $85 million in 4 years. I just can't see it. But we're not going to go there. We're not gonna go there. They could have spent that money on DJ Moore. But anyway, you know, Jaguars is gonna be cool. They're gonna be cool. You know, Peterson's got them going in the right direction. Totally better than last season. They made it to the playoffs. They got a playoff win. Trevor Lawrence is there. He's better than what Dak Prescott was. But he's the first pick of the draft. And that's what somebody tried to say. It was like, well, we're comparing a fourth rounder to some, you know, first pick of the draft. That's still not no matter. He's still in the league for 8 years. He's made the bag. After that, a wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, fourth rounder, you know, we're not comparing that no more. You know what I'm saying? But it is something to look at, but it's not so much comparable to be like, well, Dak showed he can do in the NFL. There's first picks. There's guys that have been the best player in the country in college football that comes to the NFL and just stinks it up every single time they step on the field. That wasn't the case for Dak Prescott, so we can't use that excuse. Dak going to have to get it together, or Dak's going to have to go. I mean, that's the harsh reality. Sad, and it's the truth. Because you look at somebody like Urban Meyer, he was bad. He had to go. The guy named Peterson, look at the turnaround. I mean, as simple as that. You know, they tried to keep Marvin Lewis on there as long as they could, and just, we got to go a different direction. Here and there, and they finally got this one coach. They got this coach. He's pretty cool. We're going to keep him. Get Joe Burrow. Oh, shit, we're going to keep him. Get Jamar Chase. Oh, shit. But, you know, in the past, say, 5-6 years, I mean, like, the Bengals ain't been doing bad, man. To get Joe Mixon, to get players like T. Higgins, you know, a good player out of Clemson, to get players like that, to go with Joe Burrow, then go to get Jamar Chase. I mean, like, they're doing good things, man. They're doing real good, smart things. So, it's just like Cincinnati's turning up, and they're going to turn into a place where players want to go there. And that's the one positive thing. Look at the Giants. Look at the Eagles. Eagles just had their number. They just had it, game plan, ready to rock and roll. They've seen faster, stronger, better. Maybe Giants played too hard in the previous game, but it can't make that excuse. You got to be ready by week to week, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, Daniel Jones gets good words from the front office. They're not sitting there saying, well, this guy, we're going to do this stuff. Like, it doesn't seem like they're saying we're going to just break the bank, but it seems like somebody to make it around 33, $35 million ain't too bad. Saquon, you know, coming back. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, nothing goes crazy in his offseason. He can have a good mini camp, training camp, everything like Eddie, where I can make around $13-14 million a year being a good running back. Because that's what he is. You know, you want to make sure you bring Ingram back. You want to make sure you bring some other team. You don't want to break the bank with these people. I would not salary tag that man, franchise tag, Daniel Jones. I would not do it. I would be very much against it. You want to make sure that the team is coming back representing, but make sure you come back a little faster, get some faster players on offense, get some better players that can handle some things in the secondary, because your defensive line and things of that nature is right on. K. Thibodeau, and then you got number nine, I always forget to get his name, Leonard Williams, but the other kid, Dexter Lawrence. I always get to think of DeMarcus, but Dexter Lawrence, I mean, the defensive line is not bad at all. You get some things going there in the secondary and get a little bit more feistier with what you already have with Dory Jackson, and some players like that can step up. I like a Dory, you know what I'm saying? So it's not looking too bad in the front of the NFC East being way competitive next year. Because the Commanders are still competitive, even though they didn't make it. So, it's that in a sense to where it's like this was an NFC East playoff game, so we'll get to see what's going to be. And the Eagles just better. You know, the Eagles better right now, and they're playing so much better that they went out there and showed everybody. Jalen is hurt, but he's okay. Jalen is a leader, and he's going to show you why. And you look at Jason Kelce's one-handed freaking pancake, that offensive line is ready to rock and roll. They got a run game that can get you 200 yards a game. They can pass ball to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, who's a tight end now that has a name for himself. I mean, like the Eagles are right back in it, you know what I'm saying, with a few players that they didn't have in the Super Bowl. Minus, you know, what, Nick Foles and Aguilar and, you know, Jordan Hicks and some players like that. I mean, they still got some of that core Super Bowl-ness. Some of it. A.J. Brown knew, Jalen Hurts knew, and some, you know, a lot of other players, but I'm just saying, it's not too far away from what they were. And you know, that's why I think the Tampa Bay's not out of the woods. I think they can come back stronger next year. There's a lot of teams, Chargers definitely can come back stronger. You can look at and say that the Minnesota Vikings are going to come back even stronger next year, because they got to get some things better with their situation. Because, you know, when you look at somebody like Kirk Cousins, who got two franchise tags, the first quarterback to get a fully guaranteed contract in the NFL, you know, you probably want to get the defense to get a little better. You know, just saying. He's not going to put up 40 a game, but at least he could be a good enough quarterback to keep you in a game. And I think against, like, the Giants, kept you in the game. You know? Let's be real here. Kept him in the game. Defense got to step up. And I'm not blaming all the defense. There were some games and plays I'm pretty sure Kirk wish he could have back. But at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is on that. But I think, like I said, the Bills, you know, the Bills did what they were supposed to do. You know, they made their run and stuff like that. It's just sad whenever how can I put this? It's just sad whenever it comes into play like that, and you have the home field advantage, and sometimes the home field advantage comes with weather. And when it comes with weather, people are automatically thinking that the team that's got home is ready to rock and roll. But I'm here to say that team may not be built for what they're commercializing whenever it gets around this time of the season. And I ain't sitting there saying that the Buffalo Bills need to hurry up and stop everything and build a retractable roof or nothing like that, but they need to make sure that, you know, they're getting enough players that can handle these conditions whenever it comes to time to be an advantage, because I look at Chicago Bears that they need to do that. You know, teams like that, Green Bay, they, you know, try to do that. When you are in these places that have winters and you got a stadium that you're going to be in the winter, Pittsburgh Steelers know what time it is. You see their Super Bowl records. You got to play within that. And, you know, whatever flashy player you can get alongside that, whether it be Antonio Brown or Stephon Diggs or somebody like that, you know, to play in that weather too, you know what I'm saying, they're going to have to adjust and get themselves acclimated to it, you know. But, you know, Detroit plays in a dome for a reason. I mean, you can imagine playing winter games in Detroit. You know, they're not trying to do that. But there's teams that likes to use that as an advantage, like Buffalo, like Green Bay, you know, Philly, Pittsburgh. You know, they're going to run into that. You know, some places don't get like cold to get cold, but don't get cold like those places I just named. Spain, Chicago gets fucking cold up there, man. It's cold. Okay? Minnesota, you know, they tried it. Hell no, give us a dome. Cold, okay? It is what it is on that. But, I like I said, it's going to be a crazy, crazy championship week. Conference championship week. I think I'm gonna go ahead and say Joe Burrow is gonna get that win. I'm gonna go Joe Burrow, and I'm gonna go 49ers. It's gonna be the Bengals and Niners. It's gonna bring back a whole lot of demons, because, you know, I compare Joe Burrow to Joe Montana, not Boomer and Sass. And playing against the 49ers Super Bowl would be crazy, knowing that the 49ers don't have a Joe Montana type guy. They got a rookie that nobody knows about, and a defense that is remindful of the defense back to when they used to win back in those times in the late 80s and early 90s. I mean, that's the thing about this Super Bowl prediction I have, is the Bengals and the 49ers, that Joe Montana last drive drove down the field, touchdown John Taylor. And it's like, Joe Burrow can do that against the 49ers. Last drive, two-minute drill, come down there and beat the 49ers. What sweet revenge would that be? I think Icky Woods and Boomer and all those guys, I think, like would just come out of nowhere and just be like, wow. Like, it'd just be a moment. That I can imagine that moment in my head and just like, that's just crazy. That'd be crazy if that can happen. Like, could you imagine that? Like, the biggest ironic thing of all time is that you have 49ers and the freaking Bengals, and it comes down to a two minute drill drive, and it's Joe Burrow, and he goes all the way down and scores a touchdown pass similar to what Joe Montana did to Cincinnati when he seen John Candy in the crowd. And Joe Burrow is that type of cool. He might be like, man, I go dirt. Your future. You know? I'm just saying, man. Oh, man. That's crazy, man. Made me think, you know, some celebrities that would probably be there. Definitely, I wanted to name is like Takeoff, man. Long live Takeoff, man. Long live the Rocket. But I just think the Super Bowl is like, it's going to be great either way. I mean, it could be the Chiefs versus the Eagles, and, you know, it's going to be fireworks. Jalen Hurts and Mahomes, I mean, you put the stories like that together. I mean, you know, look at how, you know, if you look at it like Mahomes, you know, was a quarterback that played at Texas Tech. Hurts was at Alabama. Baker Mayfield wanted to be the quarterback at Texas Tech. Mahomes was like, no, you take your ass to Oklahoma. Hurts was like, I wouldn't be the quarterback for Alabama. Nick Saban was like, no, we got Tua. Take your ass to Oklahoma. I just like, Oklahoma was like, we'll take you. And you have a good game. You have a good, you know, a good year. You know, you have some, make a name for yourself, and you go early in the draft, which Baker Mayfield, a little bit more privileged, I would say, got the first pick versus Jalen Hurts, who ended up being still high, I would say, for I think when Baker Mayfield could have got drafted in the same area in the second round. So I'm just saying, like it's some crazy shit going with some storylines I can think in my head, in my own head, that I can think of, like the Eagles and the 49ers, you know, A.J. Brown, Debo Samuels, SEC, you know, South Carolina, Ole Miss, like I'm just saying, man, this shit crazy, ain't it? You know, shit wild, man, shit crazy right there. Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, you know what I mean? Brothers going up against each other. Yeah, I just can't get enough of it. Anyway, on the NBA side, like I said, things is cooking up. You know, it's getting to that point of All-Star weekend. You know, everybody's going to be talking about playoffs after that point. Still, people are like, call me when it's March. But, you know, we're seeing some movements in the standings and whatnot, but the Lakers are still standing at around, like, 13. We're looking at some top teams that are playing some real good basketball. Grizzlies got the best record in the West and, you know, looking good. You know, they got handled a little bit by the Lakers. A little humble. Not handled, humble would probably be the best thing with the altercation with Dillon Brooks and Shannon Sharp and however that went down. I made my jokes and stuff like that on Facebook. Y'all can check it out. But I would say, honestly, that I think Shannon Sharp did the right thing, took the high road. He apologized. And because I don't think he was entirely wrong, but I think where he was wrong was what he apologized for, and I appreciated that, was apologize to the Lakers. He apologized to LeBron James, and he apologized to, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, Dylan Brooks, even though I wouldn't have said shit to Dylan Brooks. Because my thing is that if I was a regular person, if I'm Shannon Sharp, I'm talking to Shannon Sharp, like if I was a regular old person that just had that front row seat and I sit there and said that you're too smart to guard LeBron, wouldn't have paid attention to me. He wouldn't have said nothing, wouldn't have paid attention. He would not have paid attention just because of Shannon Sharp, a person who's on that TV show. And this is where Shannon Sharp has come with the apology and being wrong, because he had apologized to Fox Sports too. Because look, I don't want to represent this company in a bad light. But I still think at some point you kind of ought to let a person be who they are, because that's what the fans want. And you don't want somebody, you don't want a PR rap. You don't want a PR threaten Shannon Sharp. Because I think Shannon Sharp being genuine, being who he is the best for TV. Versus him being some person like what Draymond got to be for the Golden State Warriors. What he said a few days ago on a podcast, he was sitting there, I think it was Jamal Crawford's podcast. Well, he was on his own podcast that Jamal Crawford talked to him, and he was sitting there saying, like, man, it's my fault that we may not be looking how we're supposed to be looking because I'm not being the guy that's holding people accountable. Meaning, I was the leader of this team to where I can be vocal and I can get in people's ass and have a intimidation factor where, like, this guy's not going to, like, beat me up or nothing like that, but I got to get my shit together. Like, I think in the course of my life, like, other grown men are like, man, Draymond be wilding, but, I mean, he right, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he got that out of people more times than not. And I think with that, with being with the leaders of the teams, where you think they're the leaders of the team, and they're like, nah, Draymond's the leader of the team, that he had that influence. And I think it rode a tight ship, but it made players play what they needed to do. Loonies of the world, Livingston's, and guys like that that came on and off, like, Cooks or that Ian kid, I can't remember his name, but it's just role players and stuff like that. I think Draymond, those were his babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Unk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna, and he held, and I think he held them accountable, and I think it did it made Clay and Steph's job easier to be who they are, and especially Steph, because Steph, if he had to do all that stuff, then he couldn't be Steph. I'm just you know, that's what people's told me. That's what it looks like. So, I mean, like, I can't sit there and be like, oh, you're wrong. I think Steph would be fine being a leader, da-da-da-da. When you have Draymond doing how he can do with Steph and Clay and how they do, it works wonders. So, I think the moment he punched Jordan Poole in the face and it got out and how it happened and how it got out, and seeing that Jordan Poole was sitting there like, man, defensively, he didn't sit there and put his hands up and be like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it got to that to where it was like, yeah, Draymond wildin'. And I think the certain talking to it he got, or what type of microscope he think he's under, he can't be Draymond no more. And he pointed that out. He said that, you know, voice. He said that part verbatim. I can't be Draymond. I can't hold the team accountable. I can't be that ever since the, you know, where everybody knows what happened to me with Jordan, with your Michigan boy, Jay Poole. So, I mean, like, that right there was such a, dang, it almost made you think like a person from another team was in there recording that and put that out there so they can sabotage the Warriors. Because, you know, if you look back at, like, certain games this season, I mean, like, Draymond has been not that Draymond. And I think it affects his play, because I was just telling Sam Jones, who's been on here countless times, and it's just like, I mean, the layups are not looking, I mean, he's missing layups. Like, he's not playing like himself. He's not, you know, he's not, you know, it's just not looking like Draymond. I've seen the Warriors quite a few times, more so than quite a few times this season. And, you know, you go back to the Brooklyn Nets game that a couple of days ago with, I don't even think he played in that one, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back and look at that. But it's just the head-to-head of Kyrie and Steph, for more or less what we're looking at, is that, you know, that, I mean, that's always fun. I just love seeing matchups with two good guards going against each other, two bigs when they're really good, like Embiid or AD going up against each other, or Embiid and Jokic or something like that. It's always good to see that. And you know, Pat Bev and Dame Lillard is not the matchup I'm talking about, but it's good either way, because, like, even, like, something like that, you have the theatrical, the extra shit, you know, get off me, you know what I'm saying, get off me. And then you got Pat Beverly, like, what? You know, then we come back from a big-time lead, which Portland had the game in the bag, LeBron goes crazy, and we come back and we win. Patrick Beverly had me cracking up, sitting there looking at his watch, acting like it's broken, was like, let me put it back in my pocket. I guess it ain't Dame time! That's entertaining as hell. Speaking of entertaining, this weekend we got the Pro Bowl. Not this weekend. I'm tripping. The Pro Bowl is going to be a flag football game, and it's not this weekend. But I'm just saying, I'm going to talk about the Pro Bowl. I'm bringing up the All Star Weekend right after following after. But the Pro Bowl is coming up, skills competition, stuff like that. I'm loving that they're bringing back the skills competition. Makes me think, kind of, man. Instead of that one joint with the shots and stuff like that, with the four players on the team, with the legend and stuff like that, I think they need to do more like how they doing with the guards and bigs, with the competition, with the bounce pass and stuff like that. They need to do a little bit more skills competition on the NBA All-Star side. Think of some more things that they can do other than the three-point contest and dunk and that one shit. Because, you know, we're now letting a D-leaguer come in and dunk because we know who Mack McClung is to dunk. And I was like, damn, if that's the case, we should have let that French bastard come, or Jordan Klingon, or we should have let, you know, there's so many dunkers that could have came in to air up there. I'm thinking, like, quit with this NBA shit, just entertain the people with an NBA-sponsored dunk contest that's on that court, on that floor, with the judges and all that stuff like that. It doesn't have to be an NBA player. And I think that this should start that. And then I think, for him to be a G-leaguer, I think that's why they're like, well, he's at least a G-leaguer. But he's not on an NBA team. And I love Mack McClung. I wish the Lakers would have held on to him. I hope he ends up being on the NBA floor. But he's not on the NBA floor, and he's not an All-Star. And he's going to be able to be in the NBA dunk contest. And I just look at that as like, man, we can think of some other competitions to make this a little bit more, okay, alive. Because the three-point contest is the best right now. And the dunk contest need the help. And if Mack McClung can come in and be a first G-leaguer, I was going to say D-league, but G-leaguer to win, that'd be crazy, because he'd be the first and only at the point. So, I mean, like, that's crazy. And to think of that, a G-leaguer can come in and win the dunk contest, and that's what we know him for, but we could have done this previous times and been highly entertained. There was a lot of dunkers that was in the G-league or out of the NBA that could have had their 30 minutes of fame, and we could have been really excited. Jordan, that one white kid, Jordan Klingon or something, I can't think of his name, Kilgannon. Oh, man, that man, are you kidding me? Like, the kid that looked like Floyd Mayweather, who thought, or people thought was Floyd Mayweather, did that dunk, Chris Staples or something like that. Like, come on! Like, the one kid that tore this summer up dunking, I cannot remember his name, he got the little dreadlocks, but I think he got a fade now or something, I cannot think of his name. He's another one that they could put in there. This he played with Ballers Life, played with Duke and all them. Duke is another one they can put in there. I'm just saying, dunk contest would be crazy. It could be way more crazier if they added in those types of players, because they got followings too. So the NBA can you be gracious enough to sit there and work with these people and sit there and help them out with their platform, and they help the NBA out with their platform, because these street ballers, these Ballers Life guys, have their own following. And, you know, if you and these dunkers that flows through that can be a part of that and be a piece of that, just think, man. Just think. It'd be crazy. The NBA would be such a fun league, because the NFL don't be fun like that. Yeah, they might invite some rappers to some training camps and stuff like that. Da-da-da-da-da. They're trying to get better. Jay-Z's helping with that. You know, can't wait to see Rihanna perform in a halftime Super Bowl. But the NBA, man, is, I always say, is look is a more popular thing, and I think if they put some more skill competitions into the All-Star Weekend, I think that could be cool. Like, I think one would be dope. It would be like ball handling, except instead of, like, you know, going through the slalom or something like that, like, these players are so good, like, knowing tween-tween and stuff like that, I think they should have, like, a competition built on that, like, do the spider until somebody drop. I don't know, like, do, like, you know what I'm saying, like, not do no one-on-ones or nothing like that, but it just, like, a one-on-one tournament wouldn't be bad, but I'm just saying, like, it had to be, like, 3 dribbles, 4 dribbles, something like that. And that'd be dope. I mean, like, gotta think of something. Because if you're thinking mid-season tournament and shit like that, you can think some more stuff in All-Star Weekend, too. Just saying. But I'm going to finish my episode off talking about what happened to 283 on UFC over the weekend. And I also wanted to point out Boston has got the best record in the East, and they're one of the best teams in the league, too. So you got Boston, you got Memphis, and you, like I said, you got Denver, and you got to think about the Bucks and the Nets. The Nets have been tearing shit up. They went on 8-game win streaks, and they've been on, I think they're on a win streak now. But I'm going to skip to real quick to the UFC 283. And the one thing that I noticed was that in the prelims, I can't believe a person like Shogun Hua wanted to deduct himself down, you know what I'm saying, really subtract himself. I'm trying to think of words to be like, what the fuck was you thinking? Shogun Mauricio Hua in the prelim? No need. I just couldn't believe that. But, you know, Phillip Burns, I'm glad he got a win. I like Burns. He's a good player. I mean, he's a good fighter. I just like his style. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's good. And then you're thinking that, you know, submission. You're like, damn, like, he got me. And that's how I can get you, man. Gilbert Burns is good. I like him. It reminds me of, like, Gilbert Melendez. That's crazy. Gilbert had more of the wrestling. I think he had more of a wrestling down pat. But I think Gilbert Burns is special, and I like him. But he just can't win the big fight. And then we got to see Jessica Andrade look good out there. Good to see her fight again. Got to see, which, you know, this fight was something where I was thinking, like, man, it's crazy that they're fighting for the fourth time. And you don't think you get fights for four times, especially at their young youth side of their career. Usually the fourth fight, they're like Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz. You get what I'm saying? But fourth fight between, I always have a terrible time with his name, Deiveson. Darn, I hate having to say his name. Deiveson, it would come to me, versus Brandon Moreno, which Moreno won the last one. And he came out there with a similar game plan, stayed on him, made things awkward. Couple guillotine attempts there could have got Brandon on out of there. Deiveson wasn't playing. But I think overall, those submission attempts and those, you know, it effectively wore off the stamina of Deiveson, and Brandon just went at it and just got the job done. And I thought that was going to end up being the best fight of the night, and it ended up being the main event, not being the best fight, but just most brutal. It was just brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Jamal, it was all Jamal. I mean, Glover had moments, you know, he got the moment where he got the takedown. He had hit him with a couple of counter shots where he was kind of seemed like he was playing possum a little bit. But, Jesus, man. Jamal Hill just put an ass whooping on that guy. Uppercuts, knees, lefts, uppercuts, this combination, this after. Cuts here, cuts there, bruises there. I mean, he beat the hell out of him and just. I've seen him just not. I mean, that one highlight that they showed of seeing him, I saw that fight live. He knocked that dude so hard, he felt like a video game. So Jamal Hill is going to be something in that light heavyweight division, and I'm glad to see another brother doing it in that division, man, because, you know, Jarrett Jones held it down. So now Rampage held it down. Now he's going to hold it down. It's going down. So this is my episode of the Sauce Talk. Hope y'all enjoy. Hope y'all enjoy the rest of your day. And we're going to talk about what's going to happen this weekend, maybe later this week or maybe afterwards when it's over.